This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. There was always a storm at sea off Robin Hood's Bay, they said. Oliver Storm would smile at that. It made him proud. For generations his family had fished the waters off the bay, and he'd grown up on fishing boats with his father, uncles, brothers and cousins. So many storms at sea. But now, there was just him. In 1936, his only son, also called Oliver, had told him he was giving up life as a marine engineer to run a cafe in the village instead. It made Oliver, at nearly 60 years old, not just the last storm at sea, but the last fisherman in Robin Hood's Bay altogether. "There's but little money in the sea for fisher folk these days," he sighed. "And the tale's the same up and down the Yorkshire coast. The trawlers have forced the fishing cobbles out of business. They'll fish the North Sea empty unless they're careful." Cobbles were once a regular sight up and down the northeast coast, their flat bottoms and high prows making them ideal for beach launches and the rough waters of the North Sea. Before the First World War, Oliver could remember landing half a ton of fish at a time, and he was just one of dozens of boats out there. He was just about old enough to recall when the village had so many boats, it merited its own insurance broker's office, underwriting 200 vessels or more. The pubs would be full of men, pipes clamped between their teeth, all in the same dark blue gansies knitted to a specific local pattern. So if they ever drowned and washed up somewhere else, people would at least know where to send the body. Fishing was a dangerous way of life, and the men wore a reminder of their mortality on their backs even as they exchanged funny stories over a pint. The place sang with life back then, and that life ran to the rhythm of the tides. Now Robin Hood's Bay was nearly empty in the winter. Many of the old fishermen's cottages had been bought up by people from the cities as summer homes, and the younger generations were looking inland to Leeds and Bradford and beyond for a future, not outward to the sea. Now there was just Oliver. "All the fishing I do these days is crab and lobster pot stuff, apart from the holiday parties I take out. I'm just working out my time now." For more than 40 years, he was a lifeboatman as well as a fisherman, until they closed the Robin Hood's Bay station in 1931. The RNLI decided that the new motorised lifeboats at Whitby and Scarborough were enough to cover that stretch of coastline. In 1930, months before the closure was announced, Oliver as coxswain had received a commemorative parchment marking the centenary of the Robin Hood's Bay lifeboat crew, signed by the Prince of Wales. The Storm family had been on the crew since its foundation in 1830. For one 19th century rescue, 10 of the 13 men in the crew were Storms. In and out of the lifeboat, Oliver had seen his fair share of tragedy. When the hospital ship, Rohilla, hit a sandbank and broke its back in a storm off Whitby in the early part of the First World War, Oliver Storm was out trying to save as many of the 229 people on board as possible. 83 of them drowned. "I carried man after man out of the waves and up the cliffs that night," he said. "But nary a live one did I carry that dreadful time. I never want to see anything like that again. That alone would set a man against war." The war had been a busy time off Robin Hood's Bay, and Oliver saw countless German ships and U-boats surfacing off the coast. He lost count of the vessels he'd seen sink, he said, things that wouldn't have made the newspapers back then. "I don't think we will ever know just how near submarines were to strangling this country," he said. "There must have been scores of vessels blown up, either by mines or torpedoes, in sight of this beach alone. Even after the lifeboat station closed, Oliver was always on hand when people were in trouble at sea. An unofficial lifeboatman. From bathers getting into difficulty to ships forced onto the rocks, he'll be there with his boat or on shore directing rescue. In 1935, he helped save the crew of a Liverpool steamer that had run aground by letting a rope down from the cliff top. "I only had one fathom of rope left when the other end reached the beach and the poor fellows below," he said. All the men were saved. "Lifeboat work is born in you," he said. "It's no fun out there, fighting the waves dashing over your boat. But it's something in your blood that sends you out." Oliver would supplement his fishing income by taking sea anglers out for the day on his cobble, the Harvest Home, with the novelist Leo Walmsley a regular client. One hot July day in 1928, they were a mile or so out at sea. The water was calm and the fishing was good. A pretty good catch of whiting and herring. Then someone pointed out a dorsal fin breaking the surface, a short way off. Then another. And then another. Before long, 3 12-foot sharks were circling the Harvest Home. An uneasiness spread through everyone on board, not least when one of the predators turned and made for the cobble at speed, knocking hard against the keel. According to Walmsley, it rose out of the water and closed its jaws briefly on the gunwale before falling back. Oliver told everyone to stay as close to the middle of the boat as possible and distributed oars and boat hooks. When all three sharks, who Walmsley was convinced were trying to overturn the vessel, began bumping and thrashing against the sides, it took a good quarter of an hour to finally beat them off. Oliver had never known sharks come so close to the shore before. When Walmsley's novel, Three Fevers, set in Robin Hood's Bay, was made into the first feature film ever produced by J. Arthur Rank, much of it was filmed in and around the village. That 1935 adaptation was called Turn of the Tide, a story of rival fishing families, starring John Garrick and Geraldine Fitzgerald, that featured many local people as extras, including Oliver Storm. Walmsley had even based one of the families on the Storms. "There wasn't much of me in it," said Oliver. "Only my fishing boots. But you'd recognise my boots because of their white soles. You can see them on the screen while I'm making crab pots." He wasn't impressed with the actor's interpretation of the local accent.
"Down up.
You wouldn't look so pleased with yourself if you'd only got three bob a stone in market. Worst price this season.
I think you're balmy.
Why?
The way you lungs and fuzzies watch it. One goes out fishing, t'other must. Like a lot of sheep."
"I think we could have spoken the words much more naturally ourselves," he said. "Ours is a good lingo. Better than whatever it is they speak at Whitby. We reckon to be more truly Yorkshire in our speaking here." Whitby is 5 miles from Robin Hood's Bay. The Turn of the Tide isn't the greatest film ever made, but it does preserve at least some of the world that Oliver Storm knew, and was forced to watch as it vanished slowly in front of him. He could see ghosts in those empty cottages and in the padlocked lifeboat station. Ghosts that had names and stories to tell that only he could hear now. And all he could do was keep making his crab pots and setting his lobster traps and taking tourists out on a boat where his father and uncles and brothers and cousins had once stood in the days when there was always a storm at sea off Robin Hood's Bay. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. If you're enjoying these slices of coastal history, then do please rate and review on Apple or wherever you can. And subscribe, of course. We're on Facebook as Coastal Stories Podcast, and I'm on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. These waves you can hear are from the Coastal Stories archive. For the duration of the lockdown, standing by the sea for 20 minutes holding out a fluffy microphone isn't really justifiable as a necessary task right now. So bear with us on that front until things are a bit more back to normal.